Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, South Africa's automotive industry is navigating a complex landscape this year. I think that's fair comment. While recent interest rate cuts are offering some optimism, there are persistent economic challenges in the country. Inflation continues to weigh on consumer confidence. I guess the entry of more Chinese automakers is also intensifying competition. We have spoken about that in depth on this program before, as well as the rise of electric vehicles present, I think, both opportunities and hurdles. So let's look into the state of the auto industry in South Africa this year. I can think of no better person to talk to than the Chief Executive Officer of Westbank, Ghanem Sibi. A very warm welcome to you. First of all, let's start on a positive note if we can. The latest car sales numbers out for January are not bad and some cause for optimism, I think.
Yeah, so good afternoon, Jeremy, and to your listeners. So, I mean, I think a good place to start, I think the positive momentum continues from the last quarter in terms of activity in the market. We did, I think, expect that, you know, post at least two interest rate cuts, you should start to see that flow through into positive sentiment. And I think with the third one now having landed, we see that momentum continuing. So long may it last.
So the momentum is continuing. The business that you're in, the auto business, is so dependent on interest rates. Are you sensing a change in consumer behavior in the automotive market this year? Is there a little bit more confidence, perhaps a willingness even to buy up slightly?
So again, I think, you know, it's definitely very much closely linked. And I think what we have seen is we've started to see an increase in the quantum of applications forms that are coming through, but more importantly, the conversion, so effectively the take-up. So, you know, customers are kind of coming through and concluding those deals. Now, the question is, you know, do we think that, you know, the change in the interest rate landscape will be adequate to kind of give us buoyancy in the market? And the answer is no, you know. So we do think that the market, albeit, will come off a low base. The growth will still be quite pedestrian. We're expecting a 3-5% uplift, and to give you an idea, that will take us kind of to 2019 levels at about 536 odd thousand from the 515 we hit last year. So if you're just kind of looking at that from a kind of a 10-year run rate, you can almost see that even with a 3-5% recovery, we still go to the lowest point in the decade. So, which is not necessarily exciting, but I think it's good. We'll take any recovery we get.
I'm sure you will. Are you able to give me a sense of the type or the size of vehicle that people are considering these days as you look at those applications that are coming through your system?
Yeah, so I can give you an idea. I mean, I think where we've kind of seen massive interest has been in the Chinese brands, but I suppose let's just maybe largely say the Asian, which includes some of the Indian brands, but the Chinese have definitely stuck out. We've seen definitely that the price point 500,000 and below has definitely been a lot more of an interesting point. This is specifically in the new vehicle segment. In the used kind of segment, we've also seen brands like Suzuki definitely leading new and used. We've seen brands like kind of the Cherries of this world and the GWMs definitely starting to leapfrog in the top five. But we've also seen that coming off massive strain with the traditional players as we've known them.
So where does this leave the top end of the market then? You know, maybe between sort of 800,000 and 1.2 million.
I think that market is going to remain a lot more subdued. I think we have seen that customers who play above that 900,000 mark have definitely reflected more of a buy down trend over the last kind of 2 years. And we think that that trend kind of continues. However, having said that, you know, we are also seeing that there is a change in the amount of investment that the manufacturers are putting onto their products to try and rebate pricing to stimulate demand. So, you know, I think we do see a potential comeback through different product structures, such as guaranteed future values in that segment of the market. But on the back of traditional installment sale, we think that continues to take a bit of a beating into the foreseeable future.
Of course, it's not just the auto manufacturers themselves, but it's also the long tail. We've seen a decline in manufacturing activity for a third consecutive month. Ghana, that is concerning, obviously, and this downturn is going to have a broader impact on the entire automotive value chain.
100%. I mean, I think that that spans even into the export market, right? So I think there is still a number of structural items that still have to go through to be able to stimulate GDP, to be able to stimulate the required level of activity for kind of a full bounce back. Unfortunately, some of the noises that we are also seeing playing out in the media recently, you know, kind of US and the tensions that are coming through aren't necessarily boding well. But having said that, I think one has to equally be holistic in their approach to equally acknowledge that there has been a bounce back subsequent to the, you know, the GNU being formed. I think, you know, if one sits and looks at where we were last year this time, not only from a sentiment perspective, but even from a flows perspective, I think that was all kind of southward facing. So, you know, we did see some recovery. I agree that it's not necessarily enough to be able to get us out of the required slump. You know, if one looks at population growth net of inflation, but I think it definitely is some positive, spin-offs that is coming and probably not coming quick enough, but at the very least, I think leading in the right direction.
Do you have a view as to why electric vehicles are not being adopted with the speed in this country than they are globally?
So I think there are a number of factors, and I think we have to be fair to ourselves in the sense that I think our regulatory regime was not necessarily as favorable as most developed markets in terms of retail sales of electric vehicles. So the pricing has definitely been significantly higher for customers than in most developed markets. There has not been rebates. Secondly, we did come through a period where I think power generation was under massive constraints. So I think that coupled with, the Eskom issues has meant that there was a lot more concern around whether those vehicles would be able to be charged when they needed to. So there was a lot of anxiety as far as that's concerned. Thirdly, I do think that the products which were sent down south from the developed markets were more expensive than, you know, what our customers could afford. So you could not necessarily scale those. So I think it kind of touches back on the question you had earlier around principal values, that those kind of products were on the high end and meant that only a smaller percentage could be able to get into those vehicles. Having said that, I think if we look at what's happening again across the developed markets, where there has been a withdrawal of subsidies, we've seen that there's been a downward trend in activity in those markets. I think it is quite interesting as to exactly what that right balance will be in terms of what real demand looks like outside of stimulus, but secondly, how tradable those vehicles will be in the used car market. And I think some of the signs we've seen in some of these markets has been that, you know, people are still trying to find themselves, but it is actually kind of reflecting a reversal in activity in EVs.
Just before I let you go, let me slip one more in, Ghana MCB. Obviously, you have a specific type of financing model in your particular business, but we are seeing alternative ownership models, vehicle subscriptions, usage-based services. They are emerging the world over. Is this something that might find traction in this country, and how much of a threat would that be to your business model?
So the honest response is I think it has to find traction. And I've gone on record for a number of years to say unless it does find traction quite quickly, the market will continue to be under pressure because vehicle price inflation has and will continue to outpace growth in real disposable income. So I think that's a critical point to understand. So we have already started to venture into those types of products. We are doubling with a number of pay-for-usage products, albeit not at scale. If the question is, if that were to be, you know, scaled by a competitor tomorrow, how much trouble would we be in? I think we'd be able to respond. We have already established networks, and I think we continue to be quite aggressive in terms of making sure that that becomes a bigger chunk in our product mix. Appreciating, though, that that is a completely different business model in that we have to carry different risks associated with the asset. But I think quite simplistically, in as far as the SA market is concerned, we cannot be able to push up our overall numbers without getting these alternatives and of course, creating new markets.
And that is a look at the automotive industry in 2025. My thanks to Ghana MCB, Chief Executive Officer of WesBank.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.